listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Reading from Revelation chapter 3, the letter of the Lord Jesus, telling John to write to the church at Sardis. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. We have sometimes a message to each church, as we have it here, the seven churches and other churches to which Paul wrote, James and Peter, John, but there's also one message for all, the message of the gospel of Christ. Let's give thanks in his name and pray in his name that because of him the Spirit might be given. Our Father, we do give thanks for thy giving Christ, for thy loving us, not only in giving him in a way for all of the world, but also, Father, giving him in a particular way by thy word and spirit, even as we think of Paul, stopped earlier, a rebel, a persecutor, agreeing with the death of Stephen, and then suddenly thy speaking to him, Lord Jesus, in not only in word, but in power, and making him tremble, making him astonished, learning what he had never believed before. And we pray that such may again be given in the world, and that the church might not learn what we have not known before, but we might remember what we have earlier received, each one in entering thy kingdom. And that if we have done like the first church written to, left our first love, we pray that thou would bring us back in repentance, in a godly sorrow, as the Corinthians. And we pray, Father, for that in our nation. We pray for it throughout the world and in every nation, that the church might be revived, that it might again be made a salt and light in each nation. And Father, we think of the words of Christ, that we are that. And also thou hast said those solemn words, Lord Jesus, but if the salt hath lost its savor, it is good for nothing but to be trodden under foot of men. And Father, we know that in many places it is that. We call it persecution, and it may be that, but it is also that they may have lost the witness of thyself. And we pray that thou would give us understanding of these things, both for them and for ourselves, that we might rightly pray, that we might rightly do, and that we might hear and do what we hear, what we read here to this church, that each one of us, we give thanks again for thy Spirit that has ordered these things to be written by John, not only to the churches, but that we have had these for these 1900 and some years. And Father, that that same Spirit might open our hearts today, that he might prick us, that he might lead us into all truth, and especially in such a way that thou wilt make the church one in every nation, and then one with all nations, and even bringing it to the place of that oneness for Jew and Gentile, all the world together, that thy name might be honored, and that the world will know, Father, that thou hast sent Christ, not only what the church speaks, but what it shows in love, in oneness. We pray not only for these spiritual blessings, but we pray also for the needs that there are, and temporal needs, those in sickness and injury, those in sorrow, those in weakness, the broken homes, the need in the schools, that truth will again be taught, the need in the workplace, the need, Father, of those that need a healing hand in the body, already as we mentioned, the sick, the injured as well, and Father, both in body and mind, and we know that thou, Lord Jesus, art the great physician, and we pray that as thou dost heal so many while here on earth, that many again might experience that blessing. We pray for faith to look to thee for that, and to learn of thee through afflictions as well. In all of this, we pray that thou wilt again bring the church to thyself, and Father, that we may not continue as we are in this nation, listening to the evil voices and being guided by that away from thee. Bring us back to thyself through Christ. Amen. As we look once again at this church, looking at it through the eyes of the Lord Jesus, who said to another church that he had eyes as of a flame of fire. And though we cannot see the church as he saw it, we can see it in our imagination as he described it. First of all, the place at Sardis. We may not know these places. We know they were all in Asia, the seven churches, and we know that some of them we could read of their beginnings in the book of Acts, and some of them not. As this church at Sardis, suddenly we see a letter to them. But there are many very pertinent phrases in this letter. When some people talk, they just talk and talk and talk, and as sometimes as we say, they talk in circles, or they talk and really don't say anything. But every word of the Lord Jesus is a word of meaning, a word of fullness, a word of perfection. Right from the very beginning, these things saith he that have the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. And as we can read in the first chapter, the seven stars are the seven angels of the church. And he says he holds the seven stars in his hand. What a blessing to know that. In a way, if we're in the evil way, it's humbling, brings shame, but yet it is all for blessing. He says, as many as I love, I chasten and rebuke. And he is doing that with this church here, telling them, as we've seen in the past, but I want to repeat it once more, thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. I won't mention names, but I can think of churches, denominations, that were a lot different in our nation 100 and 200 years ago than they are today. Just a terrible thing, difference. They have a name, had a name then, that they not only were in name, but they were living. They left their mark. I could mention names of those that were in those churches. I have books of sermons of them, and we can know what they preached, what they taught, what they did. And it is there yet. It stayed. It is an example to us. And now, I remember a few years ago, when a number of our senators had a right to their church and say, you are doing wrong. They were not a salt. They were a hindrance to the nation and a hindrance to the gospel. How terrible when government has to reprove the church honestly. Many times there are governments that persecute the church. Kings have done that already in the time of the history of Israel and all through history since that time. But this was a time when I believe those in government were right. The church was departing, not only from the Bible, but departing from what God gave us as a nation, and was cooperating with some of our enemies. It's a terrible thing when the church has not only lost its savor, the salt has lost its savor, but actually becomes active in wickedness, and sometimes allows wickedness to take over. And I've read of that at church meetings, allowed it to take over by a wicked force, sometimes voting against wickedness and wickedness coming in, and then they succumbing to it. All of that has taken place, and it has basically been a church that had a name. If you read it on paper, it's still the same name as 200 years ago. But if you see what they're practicing, and even see what they are writing, what they are doing, what they are deciding, it's far different. It is not the faith of the fathers. And Christ said here, not only that they were such, you have a name that you live and are dead. He said, be watchful. Strengthen the things that remain. Sometimes within these different denominations, more than one, there were what were called layman groups, layman leagues, and layman that saw that the error was there. Oft times, the corruption starts from the top. How sad, how sad, how sad. Those that God calls and gives, as he said to the church at Ephesus. Paul quoting the blessing of Psalm 68, when Christ ascended and gave gifts to men. And Paul quoted that from Psalm 68 when he wrote to the church at Ephesus. He wrote there that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9, now that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended, first in the lowest parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Here, these churches that I just mentioned, they bring division among themselves. Sometimes we use the word conservative and liberalism, and often that has been used through the last 100, 150 years, since much what is called liberalism has crept in. Denial of many things of Scripture, denial of the miracles, denial of the virgin birth, denial of the resurrection, as we think of it again at this time of the year. All of that, not believed. And I know ministers not too far from here, from this area, that did not believe in the literal resurrection of Christ. After his father died, he says, now I understand the resurrection. The spirit of Christ lives on, same as his father, after dying and being buried. Christ was buried, but he rose again. He rose and sits on the right hand of the Father and will sit there till his enemies are made his footstool. And he was doing that, we might say, for the second time or another time for this church at Sardis, bringing them down, giving this description of them so they would be humbled and should be. Here he said this to the angel of the church. We don't know whether the angel of the church, the minister, pastor, whatever he wanted to be called, as we read from Ephesians here, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, and then for the perfecting of the saints. Christ was doing that here. He had said when he was here on earth, be ye perfect, as my Father in heaven is perfect. And these people were far from being perfect. He says, he had not found their works right. Further into the letter, and we'll come to that, Lord willing, the last part of verse 2, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. They very likely had the scripture, they very likely had the Sermon on the Mount, where Christ said that, and it's recorded by Matthew, but they weren't listening, they weren't obeying. Their works were not perfect. And this is what God gives, as we read here, the angel of the church, or the minister of the church, Christ reproving him. And possibly there was more than one. Sometimes Paul speaks to Timothy of ordaining elders in every church, plural. And sometimes there may have been one. But whatever it was not only to bring into unity, but also to call back from straying. Paul said to the Ephesians, that you henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. We saw in one of the previous churches that they had the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, and the woman that was there called Jezebel, and her teaching and her doctrine. It was evil, but all carried about, every wind of doctrine. Oh, how that is there today. Terrible. I looked at some books this morning, and this man taught that, and this man taught that, and this was the change in the church. And some of them think it's for good, but generally, it's a departing from God's holy word, the holy Bible. Sometimes they describe some churches as holy, but they are not holy, and some of them very unholy. But the Bible is God's holy book. And this letter here is perfect. It may not be fully perfect in translation. Sometimes what was written in the Greek may not be translated as we would understand it easy when it comes into the English or other languages. I can remember in this area, settled by the Dutch, that some would say then, well, it's more plain in the Dutch, more plain in their translations, and some words were. But that aside, this is God's perfect word, and even if it may not be as plain as it could be in the original, it is still a right word, a necessary word, and that's what he has said. And I know we're repeating some of these things, but they bear repeating. And one of the things he said in the third verse, remember therefore how thou hast received, going back, whether it was 20 years or 40 years or 60 years, however long it was since they had been called as a church, since someone had come there to preach the gospel. Now they were to remember. Sometimes, like parents say to children, they might say it one moment, next moment the children either have not done what they were told or done something different than they were told. And the parent will say, don't you remember what I told you 5 minutes ago, an hour ago? Yes, we can forget very quickly, very quickly. I can tell you my own experiences in it, and I want, but they're there. We have to be ashamed How quickly we forget even what we ourselves have said, what we promised, what we made. And that's why God warns us even not to make a vow. And then better not to make it than to make it and break it. And how often it's done. All of this is given here, these little phrases that mean so much. When he says you have a name that you live and are dead, what a difference. Life comes from Christ. He said, except you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. It's true that comes by faith. By faith we go to the cross and see the body broken there, broken for our sin. We see his blood coming out of that body to the ground, being shed in our place, and knowing, as God said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We believe that. We literally, as we eat food to be strengthened, we eat that with our mind, with our heart, believing it, and are saved by it, and then live by that faith in Christ. Not live by our own faith, not pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. All we can do then is pull our head down, not lift our feet off the ground. And some people seem to think, I live by my faith. Paul says we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. He is the object of faith. He is also the author and finisher of our faith, as he writes to the Hebrews. And here he is giving them the way of faith. Faith that cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and saying, remember, how thou hast received. Remember, as God said sometimes to Israel, remember the pit from which you have been dug, and the rock from which you have been hewn. Remember your evil ways. Remember where God found you. Remember what God did for you, both in what Christ did on the cross, objectively, totally outside of ourselves, and then what God did in our hearts, giving us the new birth, opening our hearts and minds to the Word. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. God had to do that in us as well as for us, and we need both. And then this continuing work, this is really a work of sanctification. When they are to remember how they had received, the basic first work is justification, forgiven, pardoned. Justification means just as if I had never sinned. Our sins covered with the blood of Christ, paid for by him. That's always to be remembered. Paul never got away from it himself. Always referring back to it, preaching nothing else but Christ crucified, remembering his own life as a sinner, chief of sinners. But saying, this is a faithful saying, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. He wrote that to Timothy. There was an apostle writing to an elder and describing themselves as sinners, describing Christ as the Savior for those two men, teachers, but still sinners. As one old, he probably wasn't so old, he was probably quite young, but he came home on furlough from a mission field. Says, it's neither this, it's neither that. Christ came to save sinners. And then the question, are you a sinner? I put that to you. God takes sinners and gives them a new name. And as one song says, a new name written down in heaven. And along with it, it's mine. Do you know it's yours? Written. There's a reference to it, Father. If we overcome, he will not blot out that person's name out of the book of life. Verse 5. But going on, we did spend quite a bit of time last week on remember. But do you remember? If you heard this message, or do you remember what you thought about last week? Do you remember what you read from the Bible? Do you remember what you heard, what you studied? Do you remember what you heard in your youth? Oh, how many children turn away from the faith of their parents. How many turn away from the church, enter into sad marriages, wrong marriages, ending in broken homes, ending with troubled children, ending in all kinds of different sinful ways. Some want to drown those sins out in terrible ways. But how good it is to remember what God has to give and what we can receive of Him. And as we mentioned last week with this, John 1, verse 12, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. And the 13th verse goes with it. Read it. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. And then the warning, not only to remember, but what will happen if we don't remember and become awake and watch. Another pertinent phrase, if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come unto thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. As a thief. Christ can come in different ways. He could come to you and me in death without warning. He could come before this message is finished. And some will evidently die somewhere in the world. They're dying every moment, meeting their Maker. Could be you. Could be me. Men have died behind the pulpit. People have died in the pew. People have died sitting in their chairs, eating, thinking, reading, talking, without warning. Some people see the day of their death coming, and others do not. But we must remember and watch. Watch for individually and watch generally. We are to do both, individually before God, and watch generally what's going on in the world, that we can pray first for ourselves and then for others as well, for the whole world, Jew and Gentile, through Christ.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.